welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about the members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have two men. Yes, two men. They're checking. No. Husbands for 40 years, Bruce Grimes and Jeffrey Kaiser. How you guys doing? Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Just fine.
We're happy to have you here tonight.
Good to be here.
A lot of people ask us about how we stay together for 36 years.
Yes, a lot of people ask us that. And so we are looking forward to hearing your story of 40 years together. Mm-hmm. So,
can you believe it when you look at each other?
He still looks young and fair to
Aww.
Me.
Well, we're going to find out all about your lives and how you met and your history and your activism and find out more. But first, we are going to break for news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer and dear friend, Greg Moraglia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening. This is Greg Moraglia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, February 2nd, 2014. Earlier this week, the mayor of the Russian Black Sea resort city of Sochi, soon to play host to the Winter Olympics, says there are no gay people in his city. Anatoly Pakhomov, a member of President Vladimir Putin's United Russian Party, says that gay people would be welcome at the Games as long as they respect the laws of the Russian Federation and do not impose their habits on others. But when asked whether gay people had to hide their sexuality in Sochi, the mayor said, quote, "No, we just say that that's your business. It's your life. But it's not accepted here in the Caucasus where we live. We do not have them in our city." Boris Nemtsov, deputy prime minister and now the leader of the opposition, said that Pakhomov's claim was laughable. He said, "As far as I know, there are several gay clubs in Sochi." He added, "How would they survive? How would they not be bankrupt?" When challenged, the mayor admitted that he was not certain there were no gay people in Sochi, but he said, "I'm not sure, and I don't bloody know them." And in Hawaii, Democratic Senator Brian Schatz introduced on Thursday new legislation in the U.S. Senate that would ensure gay veterans discharged because of their sexual orientation have the designation of honorable discharge on their records. The bill, known as the Restore Honor to Service Members Act, would apply to gay veterans who were in service prior to the lifting of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in 2011, when the U.S. military expelled troops for being openly gay. Schatz said, "The Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal was a watershed moment, yet thousands of former service members still bear the scars of that discrimination, with their military records tarnished with other discharges other than honorable and marks on their records that compromise their right to privacy. Many of these brave men and women that served our country are currently barred from benefits that they earned and are entitled to, and in the most egregious cases, they are prevented from legally calling themselves a veteran. This now needs to be corrected." Although many service members were given an honorable discharge from the military if they were expelled because of their sexual orientation, others were given other than honorable, general discharge, or dishonorable discharge. This new bill would address the remaining issues for an estimated 114,000 service members expelled because of their sexual orientation since World War II. The legislation currently has 17 co-sponsors, all of which are Democrats. Denny Meyer, National Public Affairs Officer for the LGBT group known as American Veterans for Equal Rights, said her organization supports the bill as well. And in Maine this week, the state's highest court said in what is believed to be the first of its kind ruling that school officials violated state anti-discrimination laws when they would not allow a transgender fifth grader to use the girls' bathroom. The family of student Nicole Maines and the Maine Human Rights Commission sued in 2009 after school officials required her to use a staff, not student, restroom. The court concluded that Orono School District actions violated the Maine Human Rights Act, which bans discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity, overturning a lower court ruling that the district acted within its discretion. The ruling is the first time a state high court concluded that a transgender person would use the bathroom of the gender in which they identify. Federal courts haven't yet taken up this issue. Students in the Southern Maine High School Nicole now attends stood up and cheered when the news of the ruling was announced. And finally, this week, the city of West Hollywood is reconsidering its controversial decision to remove the rainbow flag from City Hall. Four of the five city council members said at a recent meeting that the city should reconsider a decision from last year to remove the flag, which was placed during Pride Month in June and taken down earlier this month. The decision came after council member John Duran, who is gay, said the flag may alienate some of West Hollywood's non-LGBT citizens. Nearly half of the population of West Hollywood, a city of 35,000 that is surrounded by Beverly Hills and Los Angeles, identifies as LGB or T. The city's new policy declared that only official flags, those of the city, state, and nation, should fly at City Hall. But at a recent council meeting and following a firestorm of criticism, officials seemed displeased with the move. The city council will officially consider the flag policy at their meeting in March. For information about local LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com for details. And if you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to follow us all week long on Facebook and Twitter for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And if you just joined us, we are Living Proof on Outbeat Radio. I'm Sheridan, and I'm sitting next to my wife, Diana. And in studio tonight, we have two lovely, wonderful men that we just met, actually, about 2 months ago at a Native American flute club that I joined. And so it was really fun to meet them because they've been together 40 years. And, of course, when they said 40 years, our both my and Diana's ears went up, and it's like, oh, we got to get him on the radio.
Yes.
So Diana introduced Jeffrey as Jeffrey, but we were introduced to Jeffrey as Takwak. And and Bruce, his husband. So Bruce plays the Native American flute very beautifully. And Bruce, you're going to play for us tonight at some point.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes, we have a treat for y'all.
Yeah. So that's how we met.
So that's how we met, and I'm still curious about, because we never had the opportunity to ask you about your name, Takwak. So how did that come about?
And how do you spell it and all that stuff?
Yes, Doctor. I've been looking forward to your inquiry. Takwak is Algonquin. We speak an Algonquin dialect, and it means land turtle. I'm slow to change, and it seems very appropriate. In our dialect, actually, it would be pronounced as Tashko, so I use an upstate version of it. I spell it T-O-C-K-H-W-O-C-K. But the Lenape didn't have a written language, so you're stuck with Europeans.
Slow to change, and you picked that, you chose that name yourself. You get to name yourself, not
yes.
Yourself.
Uh-huh. In our circle, yes, how it worked. Mm-hmm.
So, Bruce, did you have a name that you chose, or?
Yes, I have a name, but I don't use it very often. One of them is Hingwi Piskewani Kishuch.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Hingwi Piskewani Kishuch.
That's beautiful. Mm.
Hingwi means big, and Piskewani Kishuch means the nighttime luminary. In other words, the moon. Big moon.
Mm. Big moon. And why did you name yourself Big Moon?
Well, perhaps without the hair on my head, perhaps I look like the man in the moon. I don't know.
Yes, he does not have any hair on his head, folks.
But I do have hair.
Yeah, you have your ponytail. Mm. Nice.
We were partying one afternoon, and he got shaved. But that's 25 years ago.
He got shaved, and it never grew back?
You might call it an initiation, my own self-initiation.
Oh, okay. Now, did you say you had a couple names?
Well, Hingwi Takwak, Big Turtle, would be another one. Ah. But again, just Hingwi for short.
Hingwi.
Yeah. beautiful.
So Algonquin.
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 But the dialect that we speak is the Delaware language, otherwise known as the Lenape language. Lenape. These are the people, the original people that lived along the Delaware Valley, and which is where we used to live, and which is why we began to study the language and the culture of those people, our efforts to connect to the land.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to our generation. Our it goes back to the hippie era.
Well, if someone, because people can't see you, and you talk about your generation, how would you describe your generation for folks that cannot see you?
Well, we were people that matured in the 1960s. So.
Matured as in your 20s?
In our 20s.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that kind of gives an idea to folks about what you're speaking.
Yeah, sure. And without telling your age, really.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 68, going to be 69 soon, and he's 65. And, we were the generation that outnumbered our parents and surprised them by putting our thumbs out and going west.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, welcome, both
Thank
of
you.
You.
Thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm.
So, you told us about a TV show that you were on and invited us to watch this TV show that I thought maybe you could describe to other people through the eyes of maybe people who don't know anything about you. So, why would 2020, 30 years ago, interview you and put you on television? Who wants to take that first answer? Bruce,
okay.
Yes. There were the authors of a book that was about to be published in 1983 called American Couples. And I think it was Dr. Pepper Schwartz, one of the two co-authors, who probably knew somebody at the studio in New York City of ABC. And as a favor to Dr. Pepper Schwartz, they decided to feature her book on the show as it was about to be published. And they needed people to illustrate American couples. And they wanted a gay male couple. They wanted a lesbian couple, a heterosexual couple that had been living together but not legally married, and a heterosexual couple that was married. And so we were the obviously the gay male couple.
Yeah, I guess that was back when living together without what they called the benefit of marriage for a heterosexual couple was still cutting edge.
Mm-hmm. So the research was about couples, and they were trying to find out what kept you all together, what kept couples together, no matter what the situation, gay, straight, just habitating together.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty forward thinking when they didn't just keep it to married heterosexuals, to actually include gay people, lesbian people.
Yes, that was pretty advanced in 1983.
Yeah. It's a very interesting DVD that we watched. Well, it's on DVD now, thanks to KRCB, because what did KRCB do for you guys?
The ABC gave us a recording of it, but it was on studio tape. We had no means of playing it ourselves. We had to bring it into a studio like KRCB that had the equipment to play it and then transfer it to a regular DVD. So thank you, KRCB.
Yeah, that was really great of KRCB. So when 30 years ago when it aired on TV, you told your families? You were happy, proud, excited, come and see us on television, or?
This is Talk Welk, and I told my Republican family, and they watched it quietly at home, wondered why I wanted to do something like that.
In my Democratic family, my mom and stepfather, they invited their friends in to watch it, and had a good time around it.
And called us to congratulate
you.
Oh, that's so supportive.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Bruce's family has been really good with us ever since the beginning. Bruce took me home the first Christmas, or rather second Christmas, holidays. And we've been back there every Thanksgiving since. Florida's too cold at Christmas.
And Talk Walk's Republican parents came around. They even attended our Quaker wedding in 1987. And that made a big difference in their mind. It was a rite of passage that proved to be very important for them. And after that, they really included me as much as their family as anybody else.
No more of that. This is Talk Walk. No more of that silly second bed that nobody ever used.
Oh, you had that in your house?
Oh, they would put it out for us. And then I guess it was 4 days after the event at Gwynedd Meeting in Pennsylvania. There were 200 plus people there. There wasn't even a car. Oh, dear, the Quakers are going to get me for this. There wasn't even a car with cops outside in case the people of another religious point of view came to vent themselves.
Uh-huh.
But 4 days after that, my parents called from Florida, and my a little drunk from drinking. Mom burned dinner, and she said, now both of my boys have officially left home. And that's where rite of transition made sense. And after that, the way we were treated was just like day and night.
So the wedding really solidified something for your parents, it sounds like.
Yeah. When we began to think about doing it, everybody knew we were together. God knew it, if there's a God. And, you know, so who were we? Why were we going to do this for? And a couple of dykes we knew said, who had done it? They said, you just wait. There will be no other day like this.
Mm.
And they were right.
Mm-hmm.
The day of, I went out to get a few things at the store, and I had to pull off the road. I was crying and laughing. I couldn't drive.
Mm. So how long were you together before you had the official wedding in 1987?
We had been together for 14 years. And we wove that fact into our vows that we fashioned. We started out by saying, first, I want to thank you for your love and support that have sustained us or sustained me for 14 years thus far. And then the
and
rest.
Now, before God and these our friends, I take thee to be my husband, or spouse, I guess we used back then, so long as we both shall live. And in a traditional Quaker celebration ceremony, once we had said our words and sat down, the next hour or so belonged to the people there, and they would say what they want or sing what they want. And there were two times near the end when we tried to close the meeting to end it, when somebody stood up and said, no, you're not closing this meeting because, and on they went.
Wow. What kind of things do you remember hearing in that hour?
Love.
Like?
My parents, this is Talk Walk still, my parents had thought, you know, because we were gay, we must have no friends or things.
Oh.
And about half the people there were heterosexuals. One of our friends put off her cesarean so she could be there. Oh, gosh, yes, she was barn side wide.
Wow, that's a beautiful experience. Wouldn't you, Sherry, can you imagine that? Just opening the floor to have people just talk and say wonderful things about you?
And sometimes they initiated song, too. There was some singing.
Wow. That's so beautiful.
So that's every typical Quaker wedding is like that, I would think, then.
In the traditionalist side of the Society of Friends, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like many churches in this country in the 19th century, there was a group that became evangelical and also called themselves Quakers, and it makes it, well, confusing sometimes.
Yeah. I want to just back up a little bit here. I want to ask you about your family, Talk Walk, you, your mom and your dad, your parents, not... I mean, how was it before the wedding? I mean, was it a struggle? Were you trying to stay in relationship or saying accept Bruce? I mean, were you in that or you just kind of stayed separate?
They had no choice. Mm. We lived 12, 15 miles away, and Mom would get on the horn and she'd say, hey, why don't you come down for dinner? And I always answered, when would you like to have us? I made it clear from the beginning that if she was going to visit with me alone, it was my decision, not hers. Same with Dad.
Wow.
Well, how did that go off?
A little slow. Bruce is the quiet one, you know, the quiet ones, right? He scared the living daylights out of my mother the first evening.
Why?
He didn't say a word. She was freaked.
She's so used to you being so verbal, maybe, huh?
No?
Yeah, the only one can talk more in my family than me was my 94-year-old grandmother on my father's side, who, by the way, was the first of the family to say she wanted to come. So it made it easier to say to the other members of the family, well, Nell's coming. And how could they say no?
How fabulous. We hear that a lot about grandmas, grandmothers in particular, who accept their gay grandchildren more than the parents. And what's your favorite memory about Nell? Talk Walk.
Oh, wow. Why don't you talk to Bruce for a while? I'm going to have to think about that.
Okay.
One.
That's. I know that question just came out of the blue, but we want to pay honor to her. So think about that for a minute while we talk to Bruce. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, Bruce.
Yes?
So how was it for you when you went to Talk Walk's family and you're hearing now that you scared the living daylights out of his mama? And how was that for you?
The reason I was so quiet was because I myself was frightened. Frightened of her. I felt she knew a lot about me and what I was doing with her son.
Back then, I guess so, huh? Frightening.
Yes.
Well, I took one look at Bruce and I wanted to lap dance.
You wanted to what?
Lap dance.
Oh, my God.
You know, every time we talk to you two, I mean, that's just such a love that I feel. That's, you know, it's beautiful to watch.
He's
I know the audience can't watch, but you two are just really special.
He's the best friend I ever had. He's the best friend I'm ever going to have. I mean, I'm 68, 40 years? No way. He's the love of my life, and he's the best playmate I've ever had.
And I hear that you two spend a lot of time together.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us what you do. What you do together.
Just about everything, 24 hours a day, mostly together.
It's a monogamous marriage, so hey, anything we want.
Uh-huh. But I mean, you work together at home.
Yes.
Yes. So, you going to share? Bruce, would you like to share why... Talk, walk, control him, get himself controlled here.
I do most of the driving, so he doesn't go anywhere that I don't take him.
And that's so, a choice? Well, choice that you'd not drive?
Yeah, sort of. I used to like to drive a lot. 7 years ago, I went through 3 major surgeries in 11 months. A new right hip, a new left knee and of spinal stenosis, and I was on heavy drugs for a year or two, and coming out of that, I don't have the patience I used to, and it's gone. So I do little driving, but Bruce does most, and he's great. He is really a safe driver.
That's good and important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that puts a couple to a test, I think, too. And it's not just one major surgery, but 3 in 1 year. Because, Bruce, you're taking care of Talk Walk, like, major.
Well, and certainly that year. And he hasn't been the same since.
Is that a good thing? Or
what's that supposed to mean?
How is he different?
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, after 3 surgeries, major surgeries, and the anesthesiology, his memory isn't quite what it should be, probably.
Yeah.
Or not so much his memory, but his stability, balance, the balance.
Yeah.
So he has to be careful about falling down, which he does regularly anyway.
Oh,
yeah. So.
Got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you two, the big question. People always ask, what is the secret in staying together for so long?
Well, going back to Pepper Schwartz's book, and I'm afraid I don't remember the name of the other man, the co-author, but their point was that couples that integrate their lives last longer, have a better chance of lasting longer, the more they integrate their life with one another. So, like we've already said, we're together most of the time. And I would also say that just concluding that failure isn't an option.
Wow.
No, yeah, absolutely. There was a Quaker conference we went to in the Far East, Maine. And there were about 2,000 people there, and about 200 of us were gay or lesbian. And there was a person coming to speak on the subject of marriage. And he learned very close to the conference time that there will only be all these gay and lesbian people there. So he had to rewrite some stuff. But one of the things that he said was that people fall in love significantly 7, 8 or so times in their life. The secret is engineering it to be the same person each time.
Oh.
And we've had some times, a couple times we hurt each other pretty badly and spent the day in bed hugging and crying. Mm. Never again.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that, Takwak.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get more into those specifics, but should we have Bruce play something on your Native American flute?
I'll be pleased to.
Oh, cool.
And after Bruce is done and we're oohing and aahing, we are going to go directly into our music break, which is going to be a song by Gwen Avery, who is a wonderful African-American lesbian singer-songwriter, and she did pass a couple days ago. And so we wanted to play a song in tribute to her, in honor of her. So right after Bruce is done with his flute, we will go straight into that.
We would like you, Bruce, to share what you're going to be playing.
Okay. It's a song that I listen to often and I like. It is by Red Tail Chasing Hawk, I think is the name of the man. It's a Canadian group, and it's a morning song.
Morning as in?
As in morning, the beginning of the day, morning. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I'm playing on a cedar flute that my friend Brian Revheim manufactures in Napa. He calls himself Napa Valley Flutes.
Thank you. my love inside of you. It would be so good for me to endlessly live in the soul of you.
Praises to Gwen Avery.
Thank you, Gwen.
She will be missed. What a beautiful voice. If you just joined us, this is Diana and Sheridan on Living Proof on Outbeat Radio. And you can hear Living Proof the first Sunday of every month from 8 to 9. And in studio, we have two wonderful, amazing husbands. We have Bruce and Takwak. And Bruce just finished playing one of his songs. He might play another one. Hopefully, we're crossing our fingers. He just played a song on his Native American flute right before music break. And Bruce, that was absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
So we wanted to ask you about your own coming out story, Bruce. You both of you are in your 60s now. And so we were just wondering how that was for you when you were a youngster. So can you tell us your coming out story?
Yes, I grew up in Oxford, Ohio, and when I was in high school, I was in the Boy Scouts, and in the Boy Scouts, I fell in love for the first time with a younger boy. I was a senior in high school, and he was a freshman, and it rather frightened me. I didn't quite know what to do with that, and I never acted on it sexually. It was all a platonic relationship, but I was had quite a crush on Wesley. He was the son of a Methodist minister. So with that as a background, when I got into college, between my freshman and my sophomore year in college, I took a job in Yosemite National Park. I was just a busboy at the lodge in the valley. But it was while I was working there that a slightly older man came on to me, a man from San Mateo. And his name was Jan. He was of Indonesian Dutch extraction, and he wanted to spend the night with me out in the meadow, which is where park employees would spend time together. And
no cabins for you guys back then, huh?
No way.
And that really scared me. I went out into the meadow with him, but I told him we wouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And he was pleading with me to at least hold hands, but I wouldn't even do that because I knew once I did that, it was all over. at the end of the summer, he showed me the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was quite taken by it, and went back to Ohio to go back into the closet and back to school. And I immediately began to regret that I hadn't done more when I was in Yosemite. So I began to make plans to return to California. The following summer, I literally came back and put myself on his doorstep.
Wow.
He knew I was coming because we had corresponded by letter. And then in the following summer, he fell in love with me, too, and we lived together in an apartment in Hayward. And
so he waited for you.
Yeah, that was my first coming out.
Wow.
So did you know that you were attracted to boys when you were like in third and fourth and fifth grade?
Looking back,
yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I think so. There were some signs, yes.
Yes, but in high school, when you met the freshman and it scared you, did the freshman, was he attracted to you as well, do you think?
Yes, and later on he confided to me that he loved me.
But you weren't talking about it together, no?
Not about sexuality so much as just love.
Yeah. Just love, uh-huh.
I didn't want to, I felt a responsibility because I was older and I didn't want to bespoil him.
Oh.
And I, or violate his parents' trust, especially his mother.
Oh.
I was being a good Boy Scout.
Mm. Oh, well, thank you for that, Bruce. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
He was such a good Boy Scout, he eagled.
Yeah. I have one more question, though, for Bruce about, mm-hmm. So you weren't doing anything with boys, you know, high school is a time where you have relationships. Any other thing going on? Any girls?
No, I had very little social life. Mm-hmm. I buried myself in being a good student. I did all my homework regularly, and instead of having a social life, I studied.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was miserable, inwardly miserable.
But that was your way to get you through.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is Talk Walk. There's a thing the scouts do where once you're an eagle, you're always an eagle. Once an eagle, always an eagle. And I wanted so badly to get a t-shirt that said, my husband is an eagle.
Mm. And did that ever happen?
No. He thinks it's not a good idea.
Oh. Huh. Why is that?
I don't know.
I just don't like to make too much of my background as a Boy Scout.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So it's your turn, Talk Walk, to share your coming out.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you wanted to know the first sorts of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you first were aware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First aware was at school. I hid in the corner of the shower room when we were taking showers.
But how old were you?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. High school.
High school.
I also rebuilt player pianos, dual art reproducing pianos. And there was a piano warehouse that I could walk to from school to look at what was in their junk rooms. And I remember walking down the street, Germantown Avenue, with my eyes firmly looking in the gutter, because the guys down in that part of town wore Levi's. And I just could not keep my eyes off the candy.
Mm.
My first time was with my best friend in high school, and we got very drunk from drinking, and we did not talk about it the next day. It was not nice. The first guy that was nice was in college. He lived in Connecticut. College was in Pennsylvania, and one year I said, well, gosh, Russ, I'll take you home. What's on the way? So we went by way of New Jersey, and we stayed overnight.
You're too funny.
Oh, my God, was that nice.
Here I'm all into the story, and he comes with this little grin on his face and laughter.
Yeah, well, and then I got multiple sclerosis in college, and I was supposed to die, but I didn't. And Russ thought I died, and he went into the Air Force. Mm-hmm. Meanest while I was out there opposing Vietnam War and doing civil rights stuff, went to Alabama, and then gay rights, you know, marriage is the key. I remember that from back then. Marriage is the key. If we have marriage, we have all of our civil rights. Without the right to marriage, they can take away even the right to paint your nails. Mm-hmm. And they have. So anyhow, Russ went into the military and thought I was dead till about 2 years ago when I found him and sent a letter. Mm. No, he's heterosexually married, and he says I'm the only guy he ever loved.
Oh, he must have been thrilled to receive your letter.
You know, I got to ask him that next letter I wrote. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So no Facebook for you then, I'm assuming?
No, no. Bruce gets into Facebook a little bit, but not me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And so okay, so you're coming out, and now you've dealt with your sweetheart and your sweetheart from long ago. When did you come together 40 years ago? How did you meet?
40 years ago, we came together through Quakers. I had returned to San Francisco, where I began to attend a Quaker meeting on Lake Street. I met among local Quakers some lesbians who told me about one Jeffrey Kaiser back east, who was picking apples in the apple orchards in Ohio. And it sounded so idyllic. It was much better than my job as a checkout boy in Safeways near the Panhandle. So I decided to quit my job at Safeways and go back east with the lesbians to the Quaker Young Quaker Conference to get on the apple picking crew.
He arrived in a very small car with four voluptuous women, and he had been squeezed in the middle of the back seat for a long, long time.
You're just so funny.
Well, he had, and then he got out of the car, and I thought, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And I followed him around for the week. I couldn't talk to him.
Why?
I couldn't talk to him.
But you knew he was coming to visit you.
Know. No. He'd sent a letter to the house in Pennsylvania about a year before and wanted to come there to this gay Quaker commune, and I got upset.
Because?
Well, it wasn't a gay Quaker. It was a Quaker commune, and he just wanted to come there for sex. So we threw it away.
Mm. You thought he was some crazy kid?
Californian.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
God. So I followed him around. I hid behind trees. I knew the path he took to get into the pond to swim in the afternoon, and he wore a very small bathing suit. And I sat on the roof of one of these summer houses, and I looked and watched him walk down the path. Oh, yeah.
But how long again? How long did
this is about a week.
Okay.
And he did join one of the apple picking crews, and
saw to it that I had a spot on the apple picking crew.
Uh-huh.
Bruce, did you know you were being watched by Tugwell?
No, I did not.
Wow.
And he had another partner at the time.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, I thought he was out of the picture because he was already claimed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the other guy fell in love with Jesus, and now he's a pastor in a church in South California, a Quaker church.
Is he gay?
No, I don't think so. Well, not anymore.
Well, let's stay away from this. We know too much, and it might not be a good idea.
Yeah, he's okay. Starting to hit the cup now.
He's getting a little nervous there. Okay, so we'll stay away from that. So anyway, you were with someone and you were attracted to Bruce, and Bruce was attracted to you, but he thought you were off limits. So then how'd you get together? What happened?
I was living for the winter, that winter of 1973, in a crazy house in Western Massachusetts with three other guys. And I wasn't getting much sex. And I thought that January is my birthday, so I was going to return to Ohio to celebrate my birthday with my family in Oxford, Ohio. And I thought that I would stop in Sumneytown, Pennsylvania on the way to see Tok'wok.
And get serviced.
And as it turned out, what I dropped into, unbeknownst to me, was a divorce proceedings. The other man was there to tell Tok'wok why he was going to be straight and was going to leave him. And there was a young lesbian there as well, Cindy Reichley. And the four of us sat around a hot potbelly stove all afternoon listening to Kim tell us why he was going to be straight. And then at the end of the day, the sun's setting, I had to get some exercise. I walked down the road and Kim said he'd come with me. At which point, Kim came on to me and said he wanted to spend the night with me.
This was after he'd been saved.
I said, no, thank you, Kim. I can't do that.
Good for you.
So he said, well, how about a threesome, you and me and Jeffrey? I said, no, thank you, Kim. That's too much for me.
So recently saved ex hopped in bed with me, and I didn't get any sleep that night. He was very inventive. Satan gave him lots of ideas.
So this is after he's talked about being straight this whole time, and then
it gets better.
Well,
the next day he went thumbing to Richmond, Indiana with Bruce here.
Oh, wow.
And they had to stay overnight on the way. When they got to Richmond.
So when did you get together?
Having been left, Tok'wok was an emotional wreck for the next 6 months.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But he and I corresponded and made plans to spend a week together at a Quaker conference in the summertime at Earlham College in Indiana. And then he knew I liked California, so when that conference was over, he proposed that we go on a trip to California. So I agreed to that, too. He would later describe it as our honeymoon, but for me it was a trial run. Let's travel with him and see if this works. So at the end of the month in California, we returned to Pennsylvania and began living together in Sumneytown, Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
Wow, time's ticking, and we have so much information here with you two for so many years. Just briefly, I mean, I know it's Black History Month, and I know that you've been involved in this, you were involved in the civil rights. If you can speak to that experience.
Just for a couple minutes.
Just for a couple minutes, and then we will want you to share your creative piece with us.
The guys that ended up in the dam, that was like 2 years before, I think. It's hard to remember back to this. I do know that when we went south, we went Birmingham, Mobile, Fairhope, New Orleans, and we were told, do not go out at night. The bumper on the back of the VW bus said, get right with God, with a big cross on it. We thought that might help save us. But they said, if you do go out at night, if you are out, and headlights come up behind you, step on it. Okay, if it's just a car going a little faster than you, you'll outrun them. If it's the cops, you want to find people. You want to find lights and lots of people. And if it's the Klan, it's the same thing as the cops. So you tromp it and don't let anybody run you off the road. Find people. That was kind of scary. We were talking about the Vietnam War, too, and non-participation in that. Did not believe in that.
Mm.
So why did they have to warn you with that? I mean, because you're gay?
No, not because we were gay, but because we were voting. I went down there as an idealistic young Republican, okay? And I met Democrats who ran around in sheets with things on their heads and stuff. I knew I'd never have anything to do with the Democrats. They were full of the Ku Klux Klan. Mm. Then Johnson came along, and the Klan all left the Democrats and joined the Republicans.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's a piece of history I didn't know about. Mm.
Yeah. Huh. But we took a lot of what we learned from Dr. King on with us as we thought about the politics and how to work with marriage equality. Without causing wars.
Thank you.
Do you have the piece that...
Talkwalk song?
Yeah, Talkwalk song that you wrote.
Well, I didn't really... It wrote itself. It's bits and pieces from this and that throughout my life, and it does not have music. I'm the song. But things that I picked up that are meaningful. Mm-hmm. And it goes like this. All of us dream, but not all of our dreams are equal. In the dreams I dream by night, I explore the dusty recesses of my mind, and usually I wake to find there wasn't much to it. It's the dreams that I dream by day that have been the dangerous ones. Because, you know, we can become what we dream. Therefore, it's important that we dream well. And also, it's important that we surround ourselves with people who dream well. Because days may come when you wake up and find you're still here, but your dreams are not. And then the people who surround you are going to make all the difference as you relearn to believe in your dreams, that they really can still be so. And in my life, you know, the first time I brought up the marriage thing, question was it, at Philadelphia meeting in 1971, the Quakers were talking about a new discipline. And I was asked, somebody said, oh, you have something to say? And I said, yeah. Okay. I stood up on the marriage section and I said, well, you know, it doesn't allow for same-sex marriage and marriage equality. And there was this titter of laughter across the room. And, in your wildest dreams, it'll never happen, that sort of thing. And it's happened. And then we moved here to California, and 6 months, Bruce knelt down in front of me when it was legal, that first little time. He said, I want to piss off some Christians. Will you marry me? How could I say no? So we went legal when we got to California.
Mm-hmm. We have 2 more minutes before we have to go off the air. We always like to end with advice, ask for advice from our guests to anyone who might be struggling out there in a long-term relationship or a young person fighting with coming out. Or does any advice come to you in your mind about what you can – we have 1 minute left. We're being told by an engineer. Advice that you could give someone who's listening in tonight.
You've got to find a way to overcome your fear.
You're born with a dream inside you. Find it. Live it. You've only got once. There's an old Quaker saying, if heaven's so nice, why wait? Why wait till you're dead before you start living it? Do it now.
Beautiful pieces of advice. Thank you so much, Talkwalk and Bruce.
And Bruce, thank you.
Remember out there that you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help our community be visible and be seen and embraced as vibrant, proud, and courageous. Diana and I will be back next month. Until then,
good night.
stop me now, then you can do the same. Yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud?
Support for Outbeat Radio and KRCB-FM comes from members and from the new Hansel Subaru, now open in Santa Rosa, featuring the full line of new 2014 Subarus with symmetrical all-wheel drive. Hansel Subaru on Corby Avenue or at hanselsubaru.com. And from General Organics, sustainably produced plant foods and supplements for modern cultivation. General Organics fertilizers are Veganic, vegan and organic, produced by botanical extracts and natural minerals for plant nutrition at the molecular level. On the web at genhydro.com. We are KRCB-FM Windsor Santa Rosa, the new 91, with news, new music, and more. This is KRCB, and it's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Climate One is next.
Change, yeah. So do it today, yeah. 'Cause I can see it there.